Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Thank you for your presence here with us. Help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. And we want to look at the subject of entering the kingdom as a second part of entering the kingdom. We have been on the road to Calvary. We have been proceeding gradually. We talked about the baptism by fire, and we are still talking about it. We spoke first of all about redeeming the time, and then we are now speaking about entering the kingdom. We are gradually moving our way to the cross at Calvary. Hallelujah. All right, let's read our text from Acts chapter 14 and then verse 22. If you find it, put your hands there and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And then verse 21 to 23. Acts chapter 14 verse 22. Luke is speaking about Paul's ministry. He says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We must through much what? Tribulation or troubles enter into the kingdom of God. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 and then verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Guile is the word deceit. He did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus Christ, we know when he came on earth, he spoke about the kingdom, and he did so in the present tense and the future tense. In other words, Jesus Christ taught that the kingdom belongs to both now and the future. So, I want us to just understand, as I introduce the subject of entering the kingdom, that we are in a time that we are going to see so much of apostolic Christianity. You know, because if you look at the beginning of the church, you will see that it was an apostolic flavor that began the church. The church began with a very strong apostolic bias. All the leaders of the church were apostles. Okay? And that is how the church of the Lord began in Acts of the Apostles. Indeed, from Jesus' stay on this earth to Acts of the Apostles. Now, the way that the church began is the same way the church is going to end. In other words, in this end time, we are going to see so much of the apostolic. All right? We are going to see apostolic Christianity that in this end time. And one of the main features of apostolic Christianity is suffering. All right? Christ-like suffering. Okay? So if you read of the apostles, you understand that they suffered so much for the Lord. Now, that is what is going to happen in this end time also. Apostolic Christianity is characterized by Christ-like suffering. Now, Paul was a very important apostle who wrote so much of the New Testament, the letters to the churches in the New Testament. And one time, the people doubted the apostleship of Paul. Now, in defending his apostleship, Paul used three things to defend his apostleship, three main things actually, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 12. First of all, he used sufferings to defend his apostleship. And then he used revelations. And last of all, he talked about signs and wonders. So the first thing that Paul used to defend the fact that he was an apostle to the Corinthians was the fact that he suffered so much. And you can read about the sufferings of Paul. God told him that he was going to suffer so much. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if we just have to do a quick reading, you would see from verse 23, Paul is defending his apostleship using suffering. And he says that, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundantly." Okay? "In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently." Can you imagine it? Frequent imprisonment. Frequent. He just comes out and he goes again. In prisons more frequently, in death often. Often. Often does not mean occasionally. Often. Okay. 24. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." In other words, he's saying that of the Jews lashed him 39 times. Five times. In other words, five times he received 39 lashes. Imagine receiving the first one, and then they catch you again, you are receiving another 39, and they catch you again, you are receiving another 39. He says five times he was lashed 39 times by the Jews. "Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in journeys often." I find this one very difficult because I don't like traveling. And when I travel to a small place, I come back, I'll be very tired. But Paul says that in journeys often, I am moving all the time, always on the road or in the seas, in perils of water. Peril means danger. Dangers of water. In perils of robbers, armed robbers. He's moving, armed robbers are disturbing him. In danger by my own countrymen, in danger by the unbelievers, heathen, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger in the sea, in danger among false brethren, in weariness. Says, "I am always tired," in weariness and painfulness. That's the word toil. Says that in weariness, in tiredness and toil, in watchings often. I've spoken to you about watchings, okay? That's sleeplessness. In watchings, he says, often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings, often. The hunger and thirst is different from fasting. I hope you know that, okay? If you are hungry and thirsty, it doesn't mean you are fasting. But he says that I am sometimes in hunger, or oftentimes in hunger and thirst. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Says that apart from all this suffering, I have a certain burden upon me to care for the churches. Because he established so much churches. Okay, so this is the most important sign of an apostle. It's suffering. Christ-like suffering. Hallelujah. And that is what is going to characterize this end time. We have to go through a lot of suffering if we should have the same apostolic bias in this end time. Hallelujah. So, our text tells us that suffering or troubles or afflictions are the price we pay to enter the kingdom. Okay? So if we want to experience the kingdom is talking about God's realm, God's order, God's rule. If we should experience this as individuals in our lives, we have to pay a price. There is a price to pay to enjoy God's realm. Hallelujah. As a church, there is a price we need to pay in order to enjoy God's order. Okay? So, troubles and afflictions are the entry point to the kingdom. It is the door. If you want to get into the kingdom or into God's realm and enjoy his rule, you must pass through a certain door. And that door is affliction or trouble. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to look at the kind of troubles or suffering that God wants us to suffer, because it is not every suffering which is the suffering of Christ. So we want to start by looking at in what ways should Christians suffer. Four areas to deny. In what ways should Christians suffer? Why are we asking this question? Because not all sufferings are suffering for Christ. Not all sufferings are suffering as Christians. Okay? That is why in our text in 1 Peter chapter 2 and then verse 21 downwards, the Bible made us to understand that here unto where we called, we have been called unto something. What have we been called unto? Somebody says, a pastor, we have been called to the anointing. Yes, we have been called to the anointing. Somebody says, I've been called to maybe be a pastor. Yes, you've been called to be a pastor. But from the chief of the apostles in his book, he says that we have been called unto something. What is that thing? Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. And look at verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. In other words, the kind of suffering that we have to follow is the kind that Jesus suffered. Jesus Christ did not suffer as somebody who was a thief. Okay? He did not suffer as somebody who was disobedient to God. Because if you disobey God, you are going to make your way hard and difficult. Alright? But is that the suffering of Christ? Is that the suffering of Christ? Jesus did not suffer because he had his own way or he was seeking his own glory. He did not suffer that way. He always waited upon the Lord to choose his apostles, and whatever thing he did, he said that he made sure that his Father was doing it before he did the same thing. Jesus did not suffer for disrespecting authority. Okay? Jesus Christ respected authority. So if you suffer because you don't respect fathers and authority, then that suffering is not Christ-like suffering. It is suffering for being disrespectful. It's not the suffering that Jesus Christ suffered. Okay? So, we want to look at what ways Christians should suffer. It's important for us to lay this foundation that I've laid just so that we would know whether we are really, really walking in the steps of the suffering of Jesus, or we are suffering our own suffering. Because God talks to you and you do not obey him. Because you are told to come and pray and you do not come and pray. Because you fail to read the Bible. Those are not Christ-like suffering. But we have been called unto something. And the Bible says that in order for us to enter into the kingdom, we must pass through the doorway of the suffering of Christ. So the first way that Christians should suffer is in denying the flesh. Denying the flesh. It means that you should refuse. Can we all say refuse? Refuse the flesh. And that is one of the suffering that Jesus Christ suffered. He refused his flesh. If he had listened to his flesh, he would not have gone to the cross. In fact, he would not have even asked the Lord to give him a body, or God would not have given him this body. Jesus Christ denied the flesh. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 tells us to do exactly that. Paul, speaking to the church of Corinth, said that he brought 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, says that I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Okay, so Paul says that I root my body. Okay, I bring my body into subjection, or I rule my body. I control my body. And in controlling the flesh, suffering is going to be our portion, because the flesh has got certain lusts or desires. The first one I want to talk about is sin. The flesh likes sin. The Bible talks about the pleasure of sin. Some sins are difficult. Some sins too are pleasurable. Some are nice when you sin them. But some, it takes a lot of difficulty in order for you to sin that sin. If you want to go and rob a bank, you know that it's not an easy thing. It's a sin, but it's a difficult sin. But certain sins are pleasurable. We looked at those things when I was talking to you about repentance from dead works. Okay? Repentance, the subject of repentance. But God wants us to deny the flesh sin, because sin is going to feed the flesh and cause the flesh to die.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So, God wants us to put away sin. I'm talking about pleasurable sin, sin that the flesh likes to do. Okay? Let's put them all away in our lives. Hebrews chapter 11, 25 talks about Moses, who refused to live in the pleasures of sin for even a season. Now, the second desire of the flesh we need to deny is your own ideas, your opinion, your will, your feelings, your moods. You do not live your life by your moods or by your feelings or by your opinions. Your opinion sometimes is irrelevant and sometimes is very bad. Sometimes your will is bad. Your ideas are wrong. No matter how you feel committed to it, because they are what you like. But you need to learn to deny yourself of what you like. All right? What your will is. Jesus had to do that. Deny the will of the flesh. And we need to do the same thing. Sometimes you may have an idea. You think that let's do it like that. Somebody also says that no, let's do it that way. You have to learn to refuse your opinion or your idea or your will.
Sometimes you come to church, you are not in the mood, but you don't let your flesh or the body rule you. You subject your body. Hallelujah. You control it. So although you are not in the mood for something, but you rule the body and let the body do the word of God. Let the body do the right thing, which it should do, although it does not want to do it. Okay, so that is another way or another desire of the flesh. We need to refuse it. Okay, the other one is the appearance of evil. You need to deny yourself of the appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Appearance of evil means that the thing is not evil, but it looks like evil. It appears like evil. Now, the flesh sometimes wants to not necessarily sin, but indulge in certain things which looks like sin, but it's not sin. Let me give you examples. Like visiting your fiancé or your friend to be late in the night, your husband to be, wife to be late in the night. There is nothing wrong with that. It is not a sin, but it's an appearance of sin. It appears like sin. When at dawn you are coming out of his room, it is not sin for you to come out of the room of your husband to be, but it appears like sin. And so you need to deny yourself of these things. Washing and cooking for your to-be. You may say, the pastor, the person is sick. It does not give you the license to cook light soup for the person. You see, if you do that, although it is not sin, it appears like sin. It looks like that. And certain dresses that you wear, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I can do everything, but I don't want those things to control me. I have to control it. I have to be in charge. Elsewhere, Paul says that all things are lawful. They are not sins. They are okay, but all things edify not. There are certain things that your body wants to do which are not sin, but which will not edify you. It does not charge your spirit. It charges the flesh. Don't put your flesh under any charge or fire. Nothing should make you put your flesh on the fire. So if you're going to marry somebody, pastor, can you kiss the person? Oh, it is not a sin if you do that necessarily. The act in itself is not a sin necessarily, but you are putting, you see, you are charging the flesh. You are putting some fire inside. You are edifying the flesh. The Bible says that it is advisable for you not to do that. So those are some of the things that the flesh also likes, but which you have to deny the flesh. Even holding hands as to bees. Oh, pastor, there is nothing wrong with holding hands. I mean, there is nothing really wrong with that. Yes, there is nothing wrong with that. But it appears like that. And it does not charge you up. Some of you ladies must know that those things, they charge up the flesh of a man. Hallelujah. So God says that deny yourself. Now, these things, when you are doing them, you are undergoing Christ-like suffering. Christ-like suffering. Okay? The other thing you need to deny yourself of is sleeping, eating, resting, sex. These things must be regulated with the Bible. Regulated with what? The Bible. In other words, sometimes the Bible may want you to not sleep, even when you want to sleep. What do? You deny the flesh. Okay? You deny the flesh. Also, eating. You can eat everything to your full, but you need to let your eating life also be regulated by the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever thing you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Some of you haven't heard that thing before. But whatever thing you eat, whatever thing you drink, do it to the glory of God. So don't push alcohol into your body to the glory of God, because it cannot be for the glory of God. I won't just talk about alcohol, but deny yourself of even sweet things also to the glory of God. Because sweet things also destroys the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, just as alcohol destroys the body. And so does not bring any glory to God. Please understand, I'm not talking about alcohol that you get normally in your food, which is in a very small percentage, but talking about a concentrated one. Hallelujah. So, what we eat must be regulated. Christians of this time need to lead a fasted life where you do not eat everything that your flesh says that you should eat. You deny the flesh. You do not let the flesh control you. You decide when you eat, what you eat. Don't let the flesh be the one who decides. When you do that, you are getting yourself ready to enter into the realm of God. When you do all these things I've talked about, denying the flesh, you are getting yourself ready to enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So, doing these things will hurt the flesh. And the flesh, when you hurt it, it will fight back. The Bible says that abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. In other words, the flesh will war. It will fight back. And you will not have it easy. But God says that we must be in charge. We must deny the flesh. Now, the other one, the other desire of the flesh that I want to just talk about is tiredness. Tiredness. All right? Or rather, sleeping. Sleeping. Naturally, when you are tired, what do you have to do? Sleep. Okay? That's natural wisdom. When you are tired, you are weary, you have to rest. But we need to know something, that the world is run by tired people. The world is run by tired people. In other words, just because you are tired, and listen to me very carefully, just because you are tired does not necessarily mean that you should rest. Hallelujah. Because the world is run by people who are tired. And so you must let your sleep be even controlled by God. Okay? Now, the second thing you need to deny is the world. You deny the world. You deny the world. In other words, you do not let the world control you. You control the world. You refuse the world. Now, that is a kind of life that Jesus Christ led. That is a kind of suffering that Jesus Christ suffered. And that is the kind of suffering that we should suffer. Not suffering because we have done the wrong thing, but suffering because we are standing up against the spirit of the world. We are standing up against the system of the world. And when you stand up against the spirit of the world and the system of this world, the dominion of Babylon, you are going to suffer for it. As we get ready to enter into the kingdom or God's realm, we must be ready in this end time not to abuse the world. Bible says that those who use this world as not abusing it. 1 John chapter 2 and then verse 15 to 17. There the Bible says that love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. He who loves the world does not have the love of the Father in him. for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Says that the world is passing away, but he that does the will of God shall remain forever. Hallelujah. So, God wants us to refuse to be moved by the world. When the world's current is going this way, you must not be led by the world. You must be led by the Spirit of God. And when you stand up against the world, you are going to have troubles in your life. The Bible says that all those who will live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Because the world system, the spirit of Babylon, is not structured or designed to enhance you. It is not going to enhance you. That is something you need to understand. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.